Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
This week in America, there's been some heavy, heavy news, and not just coronavirus related, but racial tensions are high once again because there was another video after another video after another video of a black person being treated unfairly. Now, as a podcast that is represented by three white people, it's hard for us to have the perspective of somebody that is African-American, that's black and living in America, and having that type of forethought and to understand what they're going through and what the struggle is there, even if you are wearing a uniform. I stumbled across a video this morning, of Master Sergeant Hurdle from the United States Air Force. He's sitting in his car, and you could tell that he took some time to prepare a statement of what he wanted to say while he was wearing uniform in a country that he's currently defending, that he's sworn an oath to. Here's the Master Sergeant.
Trying to wrap my head around something that don't make dollars or sense. I would understand if this was a random man who didn't have no common sense. But this was someone who rode around with Protect and Serve on the side of their ride, who gets a check and training to help keep people alive. Even Denzel's ass in Training Day wasn't this absurd. The injustice of the justice system is irking my damn nerves. It's time to get up, stand up, and speak my mind. And if you don't like it, the unfriend button is easy to find. 'Cause if you ain't with me, you're against me. Simple, plain facts. Words echo in my head like, you don't even act black. Will I fear for my life like I'm black? Is that enough for you? Because the wrong cop could see my brown face and picture it black and blue. George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, William Green, to name a few. They shut off the body cam and shot Eric Logan. What did anyone do? My heart is broken into pieces every time I pick up my phone. The news gives me the blues and I just want to stay home. People act shocked because I'm well-spoken, like, what other tricks do you know? Well, I drive a truck and my credit's not bad. Am I a good Negro? Racism's not dead, it's thriving and real. If we keep reopening this cut, no one can ever heal.
We don't like to get into political topics, and there's some comments on this Facebook page that you shouldn't make political speeches in uniform and things like that. Well, one, I don't believe this is a political thing. This is a human rights. This is we've got to be better people. We've got to demand more from those around us. We've got to demand more from the people that are in the majority for the minority. You have to use your voice in places that matter. And I think that we've seen news, not just in violence, but news in administrative policies in the DOD that are affecting black people disproportionately. One of those reports came from the Air Force. Kate, tell us what happened with that.
Yeah, it's come out that the Air Force has failed to fix long-standing racial differences in its military justice system that led to black airmen being punished disproportionately more, according to a report from an advocacy group called Protect Our Defenders. The group also accused the Air Force of trying to cover up that data and concealing records of a working group set up to fix the problem. So they're embellishing that here's the good things we're doing, but they're hiding what the reality of it is. And in a statement, the Air Force acknowledged that it still has a long way to go. Part of what makes our airmen and space professionals great is who they are, their diversity, Air Force spokesman Ann Stefanik said. While we take steps to elevate unconscious bias training at all levels of our command structure, we have more work to do to identify and remove barriers that stand in the way of our people's success. Protect Our Defenders released a report in 2017 that showed that racial disparities existed in justice systems across the military. So every branch, this is an issue, but especially in the Air Force. Congress ordered an accountability office to investigate across the military. Black service members were twice as likely as white service members to be investigated. And the military has failed to find cause for that and to root it out. The working group's slides.
Spoiler alert, it's racism.
It's racism, right. Yeah. 100%, absolutely. But the Protect Our Defenders also found that the racial differences were most acute at the lower enlisted E2 grade. Between 2012 and 2016, Black E2s were punished at more than twice the rate of white airmen. Those discrepancies narrowed over the next few ranks and became statistically insignificant at E6 or tech sergeant above. But I mean, at twice the rate, there is no denying. There's absolutely, you can't paint it any other way.
And we talked about it a lot on the last episode, but I think that another Few Good Men line is absolutely appropriate. These are the facts of the case, and they are undisputed. Whenever you have it so clearly written out, statistically speaking, 2-1, it's just flat out unfair, like the way that it's designed. And I don't think that it has anything to do with, oh, we need to make sure that we promote people equally for doing equal work. Look at them equally, like do the same type of things, just do it equally.
Yeah. And we were talking too, at the same time, I think it came out in the New York Times. There was just an article this week about how African-American men and women are underrepresented in the higher officer ranks of the Marine Corps, like incredibly so. And it
and all branches too, not just the Marine Corps, but all branches.
Yeah. Right. In all branches. And so I did some Googling, similar article, 2011, similar article, 2006, similar article. This has been a problem that's been known about forever. And I feel like still that the same things are still happening. There really has to be a huge overhaul of the way this works. And I mean, I also feel like minority people serving in the military are underrepresented in the media, are underrepresented
On shows like ours,
absolutely. Something we need to work on too. And in the news and all over the place. I feel like when people think of a veteran or a military member, most of them, they picture a white man. Mm-hmm. And that's it. When there's so many other people serving this country every day, and that's something that it needs to be fixed. It's a huge problem. So yeah, just definitely listening to his words. And knowing that it has to be hard every day too, to be putting on this uniform for the country when you see what's happening right now, when you see somebody getting choked out to death with a knee on their neck, and it's a heavy topic, but it's definitely
important. Yeah, and it's not something that we wanted to ignore. Normally we wouldn't get into something that was just a social issue that had no touching on the military, but this does have a touch on the military, especially with what's saying. It's unfair across the board in a lot of ways, and I think that we wanted to highlight that. So I appreciate the Master Sergeant putting his reputation online. Like, that takes a lot of bravery to do that in uniform.
He didn't shy away from having his name tape exposed in that video, right?
No.
Like he said, here is who I am, here's what I believe. And gosh, it's just you would think in the military across all branches, when everybody's wearing the same uniform, you wouldn't see color. And you would think in 2020, when we are decades removed from the civil rights movement, you would no longer see color, way past when we've integrated our military.
I think
the sad truth is, accepting it and embracing like the different cultures that make us who we are. Like, you can't constantly, whenever you're giving political speeches at political rallies, talk about how America is a melting pot and then discriminate someone against the ingredients that make it that melting pot. I think we've got to embrace all the flavors that make us the melting pot that we are. Once we get to that point, we'll be fine. But I think ignoring the spices and saying that everything is going to be bland, that's not the way it is either. We have to embrace the Black culture, embrace the Hispanic culture, embrace the Asian culture, because ultimately, all together, that's what makes the American culture so much different than any other place in the world. And I think that if we do that and do it correctly and do it rightly and do it justly, I think that's when we really start to move forward as a society. But we've got to call racial injustice what it is. It's racial injustices.
Yeah.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Blog 30, and today we have four rounds in the magazine. Round number one, a Fort Leavenworth soldier saved the day when they rammed their car on a bridge over the Missouri River this week. How is that a good thing? You'll just have to listen to find out. It's another edition in a long line of, I wish a motherfucker would. And round number two, 3, 2, 1, NASA, we have liftoff. Actually, no, we don't. NASA pulled a little bit of what do the kids call it today? Rimming? Is that what the kids call it?
Edging.
Yeah. So NASA did a little bit of edging where they were supposed to send people to space, but it got pushed back to this weekend. That would be, we'll talk about it more in round two, obviously, but that would be so terrible going through that process. It would just be a fucking nightmare. Round number three, if you've been struggling with junk food on quarantine, this might motivate you a little bit. A kid who dreamed of joining the Marines, but weighed 365 pounds, went and lost 185 of those pounds, and now he's getting screamed at by DIs. But like we learned last week, they're getting screamed at with a face mask on, so does that even really count? I don't know. There's just basically two schools of thought about that. And round number four, you know, sometimes there's a wackadoo in the news, and you have to think to yourself, please don't be a veteran. Please don't be a veteran. But you know, a lot of times it is.
We stereotype ourselves on our own military show, but gosh darn it, sometimes.
And we got another fella in North Carolina gearing up to fight the, quote, New World Order, and it's not a WCW or WWE reference. It's a different type. Still crazy, though. Let's get started with the show, which today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at ExpressVPN. If you haven't used ExpressVPN yet, you need to. It's like a little dream fairy popped in. I don't know if I should say this or not. Like, I do. Are we allowed to... Kyle might have to chime in here. Are you technically allowed to make your Amazon Fire Stick open source where you can do whatever you want with it, Kyle? Are you allowed to do that?
It's Android-based, which is open source. So you can do whatever you want as long as you don't get caught, chaps.
Okay, cool. That's the rule. I have that, and then I go to this little place that has all the different free movies. You can watch whatever you want. Everything you want to watch, you can watch it for free. And you do that, I do it with ExpressVPN, so I don't get one of those nasty grants from AT&T like I used to whenever I was doing pirate and stuff. Do you remember Pirate Bay, when Pirate Bay was around? Is that still a thing? Pirate Bay? Anybody know?
No, that got taken down a while ago. The guy's in jail, so.
Oh, yeah, New Zealand. He was New Zealand goof and got put in jail. Well, I got a nasty grant from AT&T. You don't have to worry about that with ExpressVPN, because even if you don't want to do, I guess, some illegal shit, you can hide your IPN address and all that stuff with ExpressVPN. They're awesome. They have an app that reroutes your internet connection to anywhere in the globe that you choose to go to. All you have to do is go to expressvpn.com/zero. That's expressvpn.com/zero. And you're going to get a great deal. You're going to get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/zero. expressvpn.com to learn more. Let's start the show. Busy, busy week. I feel like this week has been the longest week for me that I've had in quarantine season yet. Like, I feel like this week is dragging. The past weeks, they've flown by. Like, the days have been long, but the weeks have been short. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. Definitely does.
This week does not feel that way. It feels like it is crawling to the end. And I don't even know what I'm looking forward to. Like, right. I don't even know what there's going to possibly be that's going to take my interest. I am, however, looking forward to, I got a table saw coming on Saturday. Oh. I don't think there's any tool that I need now. I'll probably be wrong about that. But just last night, I was just sitting around. Somebody's got to take my Amazon account away from me. Got to take that on eBay. Just last night, sitting around, I ordered a table saw. I ordered an angle grinder. And I ordered a router. Routers are expensive as shit.
Oh, yeah. I've ordered like 60-something things since this started on Amazon. I was shocked when I went back through. And we were talking about this on another show. I'm not a things person. Like, I am a minimalist pretty much. And I'm like, oh, my God. Why do I have a spinning game show wheel in my closet now? Why do I have 4 neon orange folding chairs? Why, you know, like,
I have a paint set from you that we use like 3 times.
Yeah. I mean, why am I? I'm sending other people random shit. I don't know what the deal is. But
we
We
had one of those spinning wheels that was dry erase that we had in the shore house. I mean, this is many years ago. You'd put up like different shots or drinks or things you would have to do. That was a blast to have in the summer.
It's the best. They're super fun.
What's scary about Amazon is you never really spend that much money in one order, right? It's always like $20, $30. You're like, whatever. Like,
the buy it now button is a bitch.
Oh, that's dangerous. And then all of a sudden you go back, you look at your credit card. You're like, wait.
Oh my God.
Why is it that high?
Dude, it's the process of putting it in that make. I told Erica, I was like, the fact that we don't have thumbprint on the Barstool store where nobody has to go get their credit card and put it in is mind blowing to me. Because if I have to go get my credit card or if I have to put in the little three numbers on the back or whatever, verify that I have it, the odds of me buying something are very, very low. I'm not going to do it. But with Amazon or with eBay now, like with PayPal, it's like just there so I can do it. So I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'm just sitting here. It's a commercial break. Might as well buy a fucking angle grinder.
There should be an app that you put on your computer and your phone that makes it more of a pain in the ass. Like, you always have to put in your credit card info and you also have to answer like three riddles and then you
Oh, that's a good idea. Now, what if we came up with one? What if we came up with one? Because you know you're just everybody's lazy as fuck. So what if you did one that was tied to fitness? And anytime you go to Amazon or wherever and you have to buy, you want to buy something that's more than $30, you have to run a mile in under 11 minutes or under 10 minutes to get it done.
And then, I'd be saving a ton of money.
I know.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, right?
Think about it. You could set the parameters for what you'd have to do. I had somebody who, she kept her credit card. She froze it in a block of ice and kept it in her freezer. So if she wanted to buy something with it, she had to, she had to like
pull
that sucker out. And by the time it thawed out, then that was the time she had to take to think about it. But yeah, no.
You guys ever do the frozen t-shirt challenge at church or anything growing up?
What's that?
I've seen it. I've never done it personally myself.
So we should actually do that for a ZBT Live.
That would actually be fun.
Let's do it this weekend. We'll do Sunday. So you just, all you have to do is you take a shirt, you get it all wet, you crumble it up into a ball or into like a flat sheet or something. You stick it in your freezer and it gets frozen. And then the first person to be able to put the frozen t-shirt on wins the game. So you like try to unpry it and things like that, and it's really difficult and your fingers get all numb. It's a super fun thing to do.
You gotta smash it up. I'm down. I just did the how many t-shirts can you put on. I went for the world record. How many t-shirts can you put on in 1 minute? And I got like 16 or something like that. It's
Should
really
I
hard.
Be wearing any more clothes?
Yeah, it's really hard to
maybe
do.
Maybe if I wasn't going commando.
Yeah. Ah. Oh no. All right, let's actually get going with the show a little bit. My brain is all over the place today. I don't know what's going on with it. We recorded. We're back on the Chaps and Kate show too. That's been fucking a process because normally we're used to interacting with all of our callers and things like that. And we don't have that now. It makes it so different.
We're recording it like a podcast every morning. And then it goes up from what, 4 to 5 p.m. on SiriusXM, channel 85. No free ads.
Yeah, so we'll put in a little of that post in the podcast so you can check it out if you've never listened to the Chaps and Kate show. It's a fun time that we had. We had a good time this morning. But I get tired of talking to people. You know, like that was one of the things when we did the High Haters show and I did Podfathers and things like that. It was all day, essentially, I would be speaking into a microphone or talking and trying to be engaging in some way. Now I'm doing with telehealth. I have my psychiatrist guy and I have my counselor guy, and neither one of them are talkers. I got to talk the whole time there too. And I feel like I have to be entertaining when I speak to them. So I'm sitting there yesterday, the guy's like, what's going on? And I'm basically acting like it's a podcast. Like halfway through, I was like, I don't want to talk to you this way, guy.
You know what I think people really underestimate though? Like on average, Chaps, how many minutes, hours a day do you think you talk? Like on your biggest day, how much do you talk?
Ooh, not as much as it used to be now that I don't do Podfathers, but my biggest days probably 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. So I think most people, they're like, what are you complaining about? You're just talking. Talking for that amount of time can be exhausting.
And then when you get out, like whenever you're done with it, I mean, complaining about my job is fucking insane. But when I get done for the day and my wife is like, oh, how was your day? I'm like, well, I fucking talked about, me and Kate talked about duty balls for a while. Me and Cons were talking about what MREs we like. It's just, I don't have anything of substance. Like at the end of the day, my wife is like, oh yeah, I'm doing this for a national organization that's going to make people's lives better. And I'm like, well, I took some pretty cool Instagram photos.
Well, you know, the hard part, I don't think, is so much talking. It's listening to the other person. Like you said, actually engaging. It's sitting there and listening and listening and listening. And
you're
like,
not thinking about what you're going to say next.
Right. And like Cons, he does this show, but he also has a whole other job he does after this. So it's like, and listening and listening and listening. And so it's like a whole to-do.
It's a whole to do. It's not a big as to do as what happened on a bridge outside of Fort Leavenworth this week. Let's get into that story. Kate, what happened here?
All right. So normally when the enlisted are rowdy and out crashing their cars, it's a bad thing. The higher ups get notified. They're like, who's 27% interest Mustang hit, whatever, blah, blah. But this is good. This is kind of a good car crash here that happened. A Fort Leavenworth soldier intervened to stop an active shooter on the Centennial Bridge above the Missouri River, saving countless lives, according to local police. The incident unfolded around 11 a.m. when a man appeared to be firing shots at random targets over the busy Bi-State Bridge. One person who appeared to be an unintended target got hit, and then a soldier, he was sitting in traffic nearby, he sees what's going on, he zooms into action onto the bridge, crashes in to the vehicle where the man was shooting from, and pretty much ended up ending the situation and saving a ton of lives. Officers located one shooting victim. Another soldier from Fort Leavenworth was taken to the hospital, and the victim's in serious but stable condition, but it could have been so much worse. The soldier's actions brought an end to the shooting, and Leavenworth police are investigating like why it happened and everything. The suspected shooter was also taken to the hospital with serious injuries from the crash, and two additional vehicles were hit by gunfire. But this was a soldier just sitting there, sees something going on, and goes towards the gunfire, goes towards which... Even if you're in a vehicle, ballsy motherfucking move right there. Yeah, because,
and you don't know what's going to happen, like what the reason for the shooting is. Like I would see somebody just randomly popping off in Kentucky, I'm like, oh, this guy's fucking fishing. He's doing a new type of
fishing. Seeing somebody with a gun in Kentucky is normally, but this person knew they were paying attention, and they honestly, truly, on a bridge, where the fuck are you going to go? So this
that
person,
should be the guy's defense, honestly. Like I was just trying to shoot a bass. Like, yeah, I think in Kentucky, they'd be like,
shoot some ass.
Impossible to prove that he wasn't.
Yeah, but big shout out to the soldier. And this story, I think, kind of went under the radar, too. That's not the first time this week that a military person has stopped an active shooter.
With their car.
With their Naval Air Station Corpus Christi, Texas, had an active shooter last Ththursday that the FBI identified as 20-year-old Saudi national Adam Salim Alashi. Alashi attacked and injured one sailor, and his actions are being treated as an act of terrorism now. However, they won't be able to question him. He was killed after Navy police responded. Here's the part that blew me away. The sailor who was injured Thursday morning, she got shot in her plate carrier. She got shot in her bulletproof vest, knocked her to the ground. She popped back up, rolled over, and hit the switch that raised the barrier, keeping him from getting on base.
Unbelievable.
She got shot, taken down, and then had the presence of mind to look out for everybody else on the base besides herself. Now, I saw some fake stories going around.
Yeah, that was really interesting because I worked with a bunch of MAs at the dog school. And so I kind of saw like one of the chiefs that I used to work with, he was talking about it. And there was a woman who was an MA prior and they kind of looked similar.
Yeah.
And there was a picture that started floating around of her being this hero. Well, she had to take it so seriously that she went on her Instagram and was like, that's not me. I've been out for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Everything, like all this honor that you are trying to give to this sailor, it's not me. Like, we need to find who it actually was because I don't deserve it.
Right. Yeah. So that's going, but the story is real. The Associated Press did report, like, the action's real. Just the person that you see in these viral posts going around, not the person who did it, which that maybe
she's going to have huge dick energy walking around.
Huge
base.
Vagina energy. I mean, goodness, huge flaps energy. But anyway, so yeah, pretty impressive that our military personnel right now, I mean, pretty crazy that there's
set precedents now. Like before it didn't happen, but I don't know if we have talked about it or not. The shooting in Pensacola was the first time that military members were given Purple Heart, like on American soil, because they said that it was terrorism related. They're going to say the same thing about this because it's a Saudi national, so she'll probably get a Purple Heart too.
Good for her. Going back to the other one about the Missouri River though. Two things. Number one, anyone who says like, oh, big deal, he was in his car. I don't know many people riding around with bulletproof glass in their car. And last I checked, bullets can get through
you're
glass and kill
Ace
you.
You're not fucking Ace Ventura, dude.
Unless it was the boat mobile. You're not, So, pretty fucking impressive.
And then, does this make me a bad person? Like, when I think about this person running over the shooter, I wonder, like, did he, like, just, like, fall immediately? Did he, like, bounce
to picture it where it was kind of like when Andy pinned Dwight up against the bushes with his car. And he's like, get off me. Get off me. Get off me. That's what I like to picture it as.
Yeah.
I like to picture anything that's going to be really violent scene is just goofing.
Just goofing. You know.
Yeah. All right, let's move
on. Wait, real quick. Last question. I'm sorry. The soldier who was driving his car and hit the shooter on the bridge, what song was playing in his car when he did it?
Oh, good question. Welcome to the jungle. We got
Guns N' Roses. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. Get them going, I guess. I'm not sure, man.
I was going
to
say
Ice Cube. Have a little good day.
Yeah. Maybe a little Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart. That little guitar riff at the beginning, and he just gets revved up and is like,
oh, no, I know exactly what it was.
What?
They actually say it here in the article. It's Trick Daddy featuring Ozzy Osbourne with Let's Go.
Ah, yes, of course. Of course.
I. Bum, 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 bum. I. Dude, that song came on when I was going to Starbucks the other day, and I rolled my old windows down, had the new stereo of blaring. I love that song. That song gets me fucking amped up.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, too, after he did it.
With Trick Daddy.
He reached out to the police.
Hey, Trick loves the kids.
True.
Trick does love the kids. Also, he reached out to the police right away and asked if he could, if his.
Trick Daddy did.
No. The soldier asked if his moto bumper stickers were salvageable, if he could take them off and put them on the next. Your guys' jokes were better.
Yeah, let's move on to round number two. Round number two, we're going to do a little bit of space goofing. Kate and Kyle, I think Conch was pretty enthralled with this story as well yesterday, because there's a lot of things going on, even though I am firmly in the camp of being an Elon Musk hater.
Same.
I hate Elon Musk.
Elon Musk's biggest fraud out there.
Actually, I'll say this. If your name has the same number of letters in your first and last name, I hate you.
You're rebuked.
Oh, shit. I'm screwed.
Oh, no.
Wait.
Oh, man.
Hold on. MATTHEWCOTHRO. Nope. I hate myself.
I'm good. I'm not rebuked. Sorry, Cons. But yeah, it was.
Chaps hates himself, even.
Yeah, that's fine. Have for a long time.
Yesterday, I'm scrolling Twitter, and whenever you see the live thing, you know me, I like watching live animal births and stuff. So me in my tracks. I'm like, what's live?
Have you gotten into Reddit Live?
Oh, yes, for sure.
Oh,
I have.
That shit will fucking blow your mind.
Always a treat. So I am scrolling. And I see. I'm like, oh, my God, we have a rocket taking off today. Somehow. I had no idea.
How does that news get underreported that we're going to space for the first time?
Clue this forever? Was happening yesterday.
Yeah, and so no clue. This was a big deal. So this is what was supposed to happen. This was on Wednesday. History being made. NASA times SpaceX. What a collab. Elon Musk, NASA, the whole gang's together. They're going to launch two.
Elon Musk, also not taking a lot of paternity leave.
No, not taking a lot of PT. Two Americans in an American-made ship rocket on American soil. Hasn't happened in 10 years, over 10 years, I think. That was supposed to be happening on Wednesday. The SpaceX Demo 2 launch was scheduled for liftoff 4:30 p.m. from Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And the crew was on. And Kyle and I are watching live as the crew walks out, like the iconic scene, as they bring them up in the elevator, as they step into their little capsule, as they get locked into the capsule. You're hearing they were just playing live over the air like, we're noticing a weird sound from Sector 3, blah, 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 blah. That's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, as soon as I heard shit like that, I would be the fuck out of there. I'd be like, never mind, I'm done. Let me out, whatever. But so you're hearing all this stuff. The smoke's starting to come out. They're gearing up to go. There's 17 minutes left until the launch, until these two men go into fucking outer space. And they call it off because of weather. Can you imagine? Have you ever been
super? Do they not have Doppler? Did they not know that that was going to happen?
But then...
Like, here's we can put people in space, but we don't know that there's a thunderstorm.
Well, here's something that I didn't know. And by the way, President Donald Trump was there. VP Mike Pence was there to watch. Like, it was a whole big thing. So they start to hear the rumble of thunder. They're still going forward with it. Next thing you know, tornado issue warning issued minutes before takeoff, like 17 minutes. So here is what Marine Corps, by the way, we could see some raindrops on the windows and just figured whatever it was too close to the launch pad. Understand that everybody's probably a little bummed. That's just part of the deal. We'll do it again, I think, on Saturday. This is one of the astronauts that's like sitting in the rocket. Here's something I didn't know. They had to sit in their seats strapped in until all the fuel from the rocket was unloaded and the emergency escape system was disarmed. So then they're strapped in, they're pumped, it gets canceled. And then for hours, the two of them have to just sit there next to each other, strapped into a rocket. That sucks, dude.
And you can't, you're not moving. So it's not like you can even play the old game of I Spy. Like you can't even do a little road sign goofing.
And I get like claustrophobic, that little capsule area that they're in. You can't move, dude. Like I.
And you got to piss your pants.
You got to piss your pants. I would just be like beside myself. I would not. That space travel, not for me, turns out. But
Elon, just, I mean, this doesn't surprise me that when there was a SpaceX collab, they couldn't figure out the weather ahead of time. So yeah. I think that's on Elon. Number two, those spacesuits looked like they were lacking. They looked like if when you're running out of the house and your mother's like, get back in here, put your coat on.
They
it's cold
like
out.
Bitch suits. Like they looked like they were missing
something. Everybody was shitting on them. Everybody hated the suits and everything.
It looked like a spacesuit that you would see in a Jamiroquai video.
I agree.
Good callback.
Put on the big hat. Put on the big hat that we all then bought at carnivals afterwards.
Going on a bunch of treadmills and stuff instead of wherever you go. But also, speaking of science stuff, I have a confession. There's another thing that I don't understand. We're going to have to add something to the list. We have, so far, we have magnets. Truth be known, I don't understand scuba. I don't understand how they keep all that air in there to be underwater for that long. And like that's just a little bit of air. Seems like you need a lot more than that. Another one on the list of things I don't understand science related, hail. It was hailing here last night. It was fucking 90 degrees outside and ice. How?
Well, so that
I can't keep
means,
ice in a cup.
What I think that means is that because the weather's so intense, that means the clouds or whatever up high is extra cold. And so even though it's hot down there and then the raindrop balls are so big that they don't thaw by the time they hit the ground. That's my theory. But how are they even in the clouds anyway?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, how does it?
That's a good question.
Like, ice. How does it start up there? Like the whole, because we're doing Cardi, my youngest one. We're doing solid liquid gases, and you're talking about like evaporation and shit like that. Mm. Evaporation makes zero sense. Mm-mm. The fact that you're telling me at one point this water that's fallen from the sky was in the ocean, hundreds of miles away, fuck out of my face.
Right. And if hail can be in the clouds, how come there's not baseballs floating around up there?
Excellent point, Kit.
Riddle me that.
For that matter, anything.
How when snow, cucumbers. If snow sticks together whenever it falls, how does snow not form a giant snowball in the sky?
It's hitting each other up there. They're hitting each other.
The snowflakes are social distancing on their way down.
Oh, they're wearing masks, yeah.
Yeah.
And masks are the same. All right, let's move on to round number three. Oh, and there was a space lady, right? Another Marine going to space. First time a Marine's gone to space in a while.
So she's been tapped. No, she's not going up. She's been tapped. Like NASA tapped her. She was a pilot in the Marine Corps for like 20 years or something like that. A bunch of combat missions. Total bad. I think her name's like Nicole Mann. I don't want to fuck it up. But she's been tapped by NASA. So in one of the next few missions, she's going up. So she's been training with NASA for a while now. But she's like on the list to be the. God, can you imagine
what
getting
a story
that
to tell people at the bar.
I know. Yeah, I've been tapped.
Did you see, who did we have on the show? Was it Mark or Scott Kelly?
Scott Kelly.
So Mark Kelly was on Twitter. He had his Twitter account, or maybe it was on Instagram or something. It was fucking social media. So he took some kids because he's running for senator in Arizona, and he took some kids and was teaching them science lesson. Imagine living in a neighborhood where a fucking astronaut lives and wants to teach you about science. And the things that he was teaching blew my mind. Like, because I'm sure you've seen those. It's like a GIF or a little video that comes out every now and then that'll be like, okay, here's Earth as a dot. And then it'll move back something like, oh, there's Mars, there's Saturn, there's Venus, there's the sun. Look how big the sun is. You're like, oh shit. And then it keeps going back. And then it goes to the galaxy, the Milky Way, and then on and on and on. Well, he did this to scale in his neighborhood, like took a bunch of kids out and he had each one of the kids draw to size and scale what the other planets and things look like. So he's like, okay, well, here's Earth. Then he moved like 15 feet away. He's like, oh, here's Mars. Then he took like a jog down the street. Like he went halfway down the street. He's like, this is where Saturn is. And Saturn's so much bigger. Those type of scale models to me, if I was still a kid, it blew my mind as an adult. As a kid, that would be a lesson that I remembered forever. An astronaut running for senator that had a decorated military career, taking time out of his day to tell you about different astronaut shit. Man, I would love it.
Yeah, that'd be very cool.
I think we'd understand a lot more if we all had an astronaut in our neighborhood. So
yeah, why could there be more?
If I ever run for office, that's going to be my platform. There's going to be an astronaut in every neighborhood in America. Yeah.
How addicted to you, if you were an astronaut and people wanted to ask you questions all the time, I would do a Reddit AMA every day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, easily. You'd be the most popular guy at the bar too. When bars eventually reopen, oh, got to go talk to him. Everyone wants a piece. That's like the end of, did you guys see the movie The Martian with Matt Damon, where he gets stuck on Mars? And then at the end, he's like teaching these kids a lesson. He's like, all right, now pay attention. It may save your life one day. Trust me, I know. Like, what a flex.
It's like the opposite of the move that I take a lot with Ubers. You know, like whenever I get picked up for the airport and the Uber driver will ask me, oh, where are you going? What are you doing? I usually tell them that I am going to a janitor convention because I'm the lead custodian at a bank. And then I'm going to a janitor convention.
That's
and
nobody
wants
fun.
Nobody wants to talk about that. They're like, all right, I'm all set on that. But if I say radio or something like that, people want to talk and I don't want to do that. So I think that being an astronaut is the opposite end of being going to a janitor convention.
Yeah, so Kate posed an interesting question, though. Kate, what was your question about this story?
It was just, to me, the big part of the story was, because I'm always like, what are the people feeling? Like, putting myself in their shoes. I imagine your mind, what is going through your mind as that capsule closes and knowing what could happen to you right here and what an intense, insane thing you're about to do. You're about to have a fucking rocket shoot you into outer space, dude. The mental whatever you have to do to prep your mind for that, incredible. And so then to have it canceled 17 minutes before it happens, what a letdown. So I wanted to know,
they're
going to
be exhausted if they're doing it again on Saturday. Exhausted. I mean, think about just before a PT test or something like that. Like you have a PT test, you don't want to oversleep. You don't want to take, like you're thinking about it the next day. You have to do it the next day. That would be level a million if you're going to space.
Right. And then it gets canceled and pushed to like the next week. You're like, fuck, now I got to. So have
imagine
you guys-
being UA to your spaceship mission.
Mm-hmm. Right. So have you guys ever had a moment like that, though, where you knew something was coming up, you really built yourself up for it, you were fucking ready to fucking go, and then it didn't happen?
Going home from Iraq.
Yeah, that's a huge one. All the people right now who are stuck because of coronavirus, all these Marines and soldiers and whatever, who, yeah, that's probably a huge one.
So we had all the dogs on. All the dogs were loaded up. 70 dogs were loaded back up on the plane and everything, and then the plane had an issue and they're like, you got to unload it. So not only are you not going home, but you also have a shit ton of work in the hot ass Iraqi sun. It was brutal.
Oh yeah. That's definitely sucks. Cons, how about you?
Sophomore year, second week of the season, we're getting ready to play Rutgers at home, sold out. Tuesday practice, quarterback's coach comes up to me, taps me, goes, hey, you're going with the ones today. So if you're going with the ones, it means you're starting. Yes. So I go with the ones Tuesday, Wednesday, and then he comes to me on Thursday and says, hey, we're going to go with somebody else.
Oh, so, fuck.
That kind of sucked because I was excited. I was like, finally.
Did you told anybody? First start.
Oh, yeah. I told my high school coach. Like, he's like, yeah, as soon as you start, I want to come. Told my high school coach, obviously my parents. Yeah, that just didn't happen.
What year did you end up starting?
No year. My quarterback.
Sorry, that was mean. That was mean. Even for me, that was mean. Let's move on to round number three. Sorry, Cons.
That's
that
okay. Senior year.
That was fucked up. That was fucked up. All right, let's move on to round number three. Now, round number three comes to us from a little bit of the Marine Corps. People are still improvising, adapting, and overcome to join me and Kate's beloved Corps. What happened there, Kate?
Well, and I feel like every year you see these stories in the news from somewhere, but, you know, there's standards to even be able to join. You have to go through the Pooley program, and then eventually, you know, you can't get through MEPS if you're not within standards. But sometimes there's people who are, like, egregiously beyond the standards where it seems like there's no way they could ever
I thought you were going to say egregiously fat. I was like,
no,
that's very
you know me, not me.
Fit.
I'm a bleeding heart over here. But so this one to me was especially impressive and kind of a neat story about a recruiter who didn't give up on somebody. The Marine Corps' newest recruit is used to overcoming obstacles, not the least of which was losing 186.
I doubt he was getting over very many obstacles.
Yeah, well, that's true. 186 pounds. Chaps, how much do you weigh?
I weigh like 199.
So this person lost pretty much a whole you off of them in order to fulfill his childhood dream of becoming a Marine. Gabriel Mendez Ramirez was just a kid when he saw his first Marine Corps officer in a crowded restaurant in Southern California and knew he wanted to be a Marine too. Those uniforms, man, they'll get you. If you see the right. Anyways, during his sophomore year of high school in Vista, California, he met Staff Sergeant Anna Rodriguez, who played an integral role in motivating him, which was a doozy because at the time he weighed 365 pounds. She looked at me, not at my weight, Ramirez said. She told me, it's all up to you if you want it. And from there, I got her card. after that, though, he was still in the summer. He was struggling a lot with his weight. The workouts, his confidence, everything was up and down. And he was getting bullied a ton by the other students around him, probably telling him, you want to be a Marine? Laughable, whatever. So then he joined the high school wrestling team as a way to try and stay in shape. And his coach was a veteran, helping him out a lot. But unfortunately, that coach left. A new one came in, pretty much told him he was a loser, and he quit the team. So, I hate you. Anyways, it wasn't until Rodriguez stepped in that Ramirez got back on track. She showed up at my house one day out of the blue. She really put me in check that day. She told me to stop doubting myself and just put my mind to what I want to accomplish. I was the only one that could make this happen for me. No one could do it for me. She didn't give up. So for years, she kept in touch with him. I mean, this was sophomore year they first met. She comes back in and is like, if this is what you really want, only you can make it happen. I like love this shit. And he's in boot camp right now. He lost that weight. And then of course, I'm reading the comments on the article about it from Aaron Coulter. I hate to be a downer here, but I was a Marine for 24 years. If you've had issues being overweight, the Corps is the wrong branch to join, especially if you're trying to make a career out of it. They've got very strict blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up, dude. You don't know what's going to go on for this person. I just hate those people. Actually, I was in, so I'm an expert on this now. So
I also like how he kind of like subtly.
Yeah, yeah. As a veteran,
he subtly took a jab with all the other branches. He's like, well, if you want to make a career, you can make it in the other branches being overweight, but not my core.
He should have gone Navy chief. He should have just been a Navy chief right away and gotten it over with. But yeah, so anyway, I don't know. I think it's cool and I think it's neat. There are people out there that are motivating and can really like get you to drink the Kool-Aid. And I think that's special.
Well, look at our guy, Double Vodka Don. He's crushing it right now.
That's what I was going to say.
He's dropped down like 40 pounds or so. He's underneath the 300 pound bubble, which is great for him. I think that that's awesome. Like to go out and make yourself better. Yeah. Like once you get to that scale, I think that it is a lot more difficult to consistently do that. So if you do that, shout out to you. I think that's great. Good for this guy. Hopefully he goes on and has a great long illustrious career as a United States Marine. Hopefully he graduates boot camp and doesn't get caught with peanut butter in his pocket.
Good point. Clear those cargo pockets out, buddy.
Don't be like Aaron either. If you see anybody that you know is trying to lose weight, just gas them up, because I think that's what helps too. You can mentally get in your own head and say like, hey, I want to do this. But every other person that says like, hey, you're doing a good job, hey, stick with it, that definitely boosts you and helps you. So if you see a pal who's trying to lose weight and maybe join the Marines, gas them up.
Yeah. I agree. Or even if they're trying to join the Air Force, you can even support that, I guess. All right, let's move on to round number four. It's going to be brought to you by our friends at Us, the Barstool Sports Store. Make sure that you're going there and checking us out, getting our clothes. They're so soft. The new one that says embraces suck. I sweat so much whenever I was doing that demo of my back porch that you couldn't even see the puppy. McCartney was walking around. I put it up on social media today of her wearing the puppy dog on there. They love that, going for it. And I think, don't quote me on this, I think there's going to be some baklava, some military colors that are going to come out with the pirate dog right over the mouth. So that should be coming out too. So if you want to stay safe and go to Six Flags with something over your mouth where you're not going to catch nasty little coronavirus germs and get permanently banned from boot camp, you can do that as well. Make sure you go to the Barstool Sports Store and check that out. Round number four. Different kind of story here in round number four. It's going to be a little wackadoodle. So this guy that joined the Marine Corps because he was chubby and lost a lot of weight, and now he's not as chubby so he can join. He is striving to become one of these veterans that the wackadoodle in round number four is. And every time if a video starts, that's why I think the video that we started the show with today, I was pleasantly really surprised because it was somebody in the military, somebody, a veteran that was in uniform in a car. And I was like, oh man, this was actually coherent.
Yeah. Any military in my vehicle rant is normally like, oh God, oh God, oh God. So yeah, we started the show with a legit one. We're ending the show with quite the wild card. We got ourselves.
And it might be I understand like we've talked about it before. I don't know if it was on this show or not. I understand the people who want to open up the economy.
Absolutely.
Like, because you are struggling. If you are one of the 35 million people who have lost their jobs in the United States, you want things to get back to normal, even if that means there is a little bit of a danger. Like, I understand that frame of thought, like that sometimes
if I can't live my life, what's the point of doing this anyway? Right.
Yeah. Whoa. If I can't feed my family, if I can't pay my bills, if I'm going to be homeless, I'd rather risk that and take coronavirus and try to get better from that than not have food on my table where I know for a fact that I'll be starving to death type of situation. But can we do it normally? Can we just have some normal conversations? Does that always have to be involved with fucking killing people? I mean, do we always have to go there?
Yeah, this is happening there.
Well, here's the video. Here's what he said.
That's the country I want my kids to live in. I want my kids to look back on our country and say, man, what a great nation. The whole world looked to them during that time where the New World Order tried to take over, and America said, no, we're taking up arms. It's time for us to fight against this. We're not going to stop. If you want to go to the full force time, we have the forces to retaliate. And that's really, at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to secure our freedoms is our willingness to step up and fight. Do we want to pick up arms? Do we want to kill anybody? Of course not. Nobody wants to take lives. We don't want to kill anybody. But are we willing to kill people? Are we willing to lay our lives down? We have to say yes. We have to say yes. Is that violence? Is that terrorism? No, it's not terrorism. I'm not trying to strike fear in the hearts of people by saying I'm going to kill you. I'm going to say, if you bring force, we're going to bring force. If you bring guns, we're going to bring guns. If you're armed with this, we're going to be armed with this. And that is why America has been free. And that's why we remain free. Because we are willing to step up and fight against the forces of tyranny. We're willing to speak out against these insane edicts and these insane executive orders that were allowed to be passed. These things should have never even been allowed to be passed. It should have never even been allowed. People should have said, say what? No. That's what the medical field's for. Let the medical field do it. Now, if they start getting overrun and they get to 150% capacity and the hospitals are getting overrun, then we'll shut down and we'll go home. But until then, let the medical industry do what the medical industry does.
We're taking up arms. It's time for us to fight against this. We're not going to stop.
Love videos that are just a bunch of rhetorical questions. Do we want to do this? No. Are we going to do it? Maybe. No. No.
Do we want to kill anybody? Of course not. Nobody wants to take lives. Dude, you're a moron. Like, you're an absolute moron. And it's the New World Order is coming to get us. This is the New World Order. And I just pictured Hulk Hogan, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash just running down the ramp like, here we come, bitches. Anyway, so yeah, it's just... I mean,
why which I wish that would be that. I wish that that would be a thing. They should make, what if they did like politics WWE, where it's nothing but like you had two teams, it was Republicans versus Democrats, and everybody just cut like promos on each other.
Yeah, you're right. That would be sick, dude. That would be.
Yeah, and you like actually fought. Like it's still people in like the man panties and fucking the high boots and shit like that. But you have like the MAGA guy that comes out, and then you have another dude that has like a big old cape on that says like libtard on the back or something.
Yeah.
They're just going at it, doing a slam from the top rope. Like, oh, I bet you wish you had universal health care now.
Yeah, and I think Adam Smith would be a great heel. He would be an absolutely great heel. I love to, his wife also, she put on her Reopen NC's Facebook page active. You know, this couple is very active on Facebook.
Oh yeah. Big Facebook story.
My husband is a veteran and was a US Marine, which is to many people an automatic stamp of validity for some insane reason. He swore to uphold the Constitution. So that's why his words are okay. But yeah, so I don't know, it's one of those stories you see and you're like, please don't be a veteran. Please don't be a veteran. Then you find out it is. And then you're like, please don't be a Marine. Please don't be a Marine. And then it is.
Yeah, go to your God damn it. Please don't be an MP. Please don't be an MP.
Yeah. Please don't be an MP. Oh, damn it. He's a dog handler too. So
please don't be from Delco. Please don't be from Delco.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just funny. It's like you picture what this guy would look like and he looks precisely what you think he would look like. I always kind of chuckle when they all kind of look how you might picture them. The other thing that I think is funny is all these people who get very, I guess we could say irrational. They always want to like hide behind the Constitution. It's like, oh, I have constitutional rights. And it's like constitutional law, like 101. It's like, you know, the founding fathers, this question gets asked all the time. It's like, how could they have known what was going to be happening in 2020? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the answer is they couldn't have. So you have to interpret what was the spirit of law. And these people just like interpret this stuff like by the letter. And it's like, it's not really like that. You can't just hide behind the Constitution every time you want to be crazy.
It's like the snake church in Kentucky. It's like, well, the Bible said snakes, so now we're holding them during service. It's like, no, don't take it. You can't. That was a lot. Oh. Yeah,
exactly. The world was very different in, you know, the 1700s. So you got to interpret the spirit of the law.
Yeah.
Guess what? And even
though, you know, there are valid arguments to be made on the opening things up and the Constitution, all that stuff. But just don't be like, we'll kill people.
Yeah.
I mean, do we want to? No, but.
Maybe.
I'm not saying throw the Constitution out the window, but these people just like hide behind it as if it's this blanket that allows them to do whatever they please. Like, oh, it's in the Constitution.
That would have been a hell of a take on the podcast, though, if you did say throw the Constitution out the window.
It's like
episode title, Cons Hates the Constitution.
No, it's like Ricky Bobby, what he says. It's like, hey, it's in the Geneva Conventions. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do. My brain's circling back to your wrestling idea, chaps. I wish.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Congress. I wish the House of Representatives, those ramps they walk down, like those halls, like between the seats.
I mean, that's tailor-made for a pay-per-view.
Comes out. Yeah, the smoke comes out. All of a sudden, lights flashing, and here comes Newt Gingrich. Like,
there's certain times that I really wish that we did things more like Ukraine. I've seen videos of Ukraine. Fighting from the top row, like not the balcony section where you have, like, I guess the Congress for them, like their representative on the top row where they'll fight and they'll spill over the stairs, like down onto the bottom floor. Like, could you imagine? I would love to see somebody just go up to Rand Paul. Like, you have Tammy Duckworth just go up to Rand Paul and just smack him right in the mouth. I love that shit.
You don't vote for somebody based off their like ideals anymore. It's like, well, she's got a green belt, so she's got my vote.
I just picture, like, if someone did anything to Nancy Pelosi, she just looks so brittle, like she would just break in half.
Yeah.
Oh, osteoporosis city.
And Bernie too. I don't think Bernie could take a punch.
No. Open
legend ass Bernie.
Yep. Yep. I do feel like the Repubs are just, this is a broad, just blank statement. I feel like the Repubs are just bigger boned. They're sturdier. They're cool.
Oh, yeah, because Mitch McConnell looks like he's a brawler.
Yeah, the Dems would have to fight 30 with little shanks and stuff, probably. I'd watch the shit out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell looking like fucking Dana Carvey and Master of Disguise.
Mitch McConnell's head. Who's the turtle looking guy? His head just goes down into his body. Yeah, Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Oh, remember, Kate, when we were in Washington, D.C., and there was an old man wearing red sweatpants. I was like, oh, that's Mitch McConnell. And you're like, what, really?
I believed you. He did kind of look like him. I was like, I can't believe he's wearing red sweats outside the fucking White House.
Yeah. I didn't know he had a cane. All right. Let's move on to Safe Rounds Alibis. We'll start with you, Cons. What do you got?
Oh, yeah. There was a tweet that just came out from President Trump and said, the men and women of the National Guard have been doing a great job fighting the coronavirus. This week, I will extend their Title 32 orders through mid-August so they can continue to help states succeed in their response and recovery efforts and thus get the benefits that they so rightly deserve.
Right. A few weeks ago, we were talking about how they were going to cut these National Guard soldiers off at 89 days when 90 is the day that you need to get like GI Bill and a bunch of other benefits. So thank God that, you know, I'm glad that this tweet came out.
Right decision there.
Yeah. Sorry. Two more real quickly.
No. Wow. Four.
Yeah, sorry. We got a lot today. Get comfortable before you get released for the day. I'm a weirdo. Recently, I noticed when I get into the shower, and I've recently switched to no free ads, but Dove body wash.
And Dove.
Whenever I see Dove, I just Prince When Doves Cry pops into my head, and I start singing When Doves Cry in the shower.
I've been doing a ton of singing and dancing here. I found a cowboy hat in my closet yesterday from when I went to the rodeo at MSG, hammered. And next thing you know, I put on Dixie Chicks' Cowboy Take Me Away.
Oh, man, that whole album's fire.
So good. So I have mirrors on every wall of my apartment because it's so small. And so I could see myself. So then I was looking and I felt like I created a whole dance routine where I'm doing
that. It really is a shame that Dixie Chicks got country canceled.
Right? Yeah. Oh, what a delight they are. Anyways,
so that was that. And then lastly, shout out to, I don't know if he wants me to use his name, but gentleman on Instagram DM'd me. There was an alternate ending to The Guardian. Blew me away.
What?
Couldn't believe it.
Don't say it.
Well, You're just going to have to first watch The Guardian.
I know.
So you'll stop having me say, please watch The Guardian.
Noted.
Then there was this alternate ending and he blew me away. So I just appreciate that the listeners are keeping me abreast of all the goings on with regards to The Guardian.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I'm going to pull an echelon right. Sneak around from behind.
Please do skirmishes right instead.
I'm going to do a skirmish.
Yeah.
Khans is still a big dummy face and I hate him. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, no, I'm totally gay. I got nothing new to report. I would still like to, I feel like a vegetarian. I'm a vegetarian CrossFitter, but with my bike. I'm like, oh, just
I want to
like,
see if you can do something, Kate, since you said I have nothing new to report. Quote your boot camp speech of what you would have to report to the drill instructors.
And you know like, he knows
it
verbatim.
Go to the bathroom?
No, whenever you are on Firewatch, your Firewatch speech. Do you remember
it? No, I don't. Stolen Valor me because, again, I don't even remember my drill instructors' names.
Wow.
I don't remember their names. I don't remember any of the speeches. I don't remember, like, any of it.
What is it, Chaps?
I think I blacked out.
Sir, good morning, sir. Like, sir, Recruit Cawthorn reports 53 lockers, 53 C-bags, 53 foot lockers, all secure, all rifles on safe. That's
oh
all
my
you have
God.
To say.
Easy. I remember that there was a certain speech you had to give when you had to go to the bathroom. And it took me, I didn't get it right till like the last week of boot
camp.
Sir,
good morning, sir. Recruit Cawthorn request, make a head call.
I learned to hold my piss like you wouldn't believe. I would hold it all day till they finally went to their huts. And I'd be like, oh, like, yeah.
Anyway. I just picture Recruit Manual, what's your problem? I really got to pee, Sergeant.
I wrote my drill instructor.
Request. I don't know how.
Totally screw up. I wrote my drill instructors a goofy poem at the end of boot camp. I was like, here you go. And they were like, what the fuck is this? Like, anyway, yeah.
You definitely thought you were friends with your drill instructors at the end, didn't you?
Thought they loved me. They didn't.
Big time.
Did not.
Just a big old family that always talked to each other.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Not fans.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything. I'm excited that the Chaps and Kate show is back on SiriusXM. We're going to play a little portion of that for those that don't have SiriusXM. We'll play a little bit at the end of the show of our episode that came out today. So you can kind of get a little bit of a vibe. Go right now during coronavirus season. It is free if you go to barstoolsports.com/radio, or you can go to the SiriusXM app. You can download that. There's on-demand episodes that I think last for like a week or something like that, so you can catch up with us there. If you want even more stuff that we're doing, you can check that out there. Here's a little bit of the Chaps and Kate show, but until Tuesday, we will sound the retreat. The Chaps and Kate show. Welcome back, everybody. It's exciting. Day three back here. It's always kind of weird starting off the show on like a Tuesday. Whenever we started off on Tuesday, it was a holiday season on Monday. Now it feels like the best day of the week is already behind us, which as we all know is a Tuesday.
I was going to say Monday too.
Yeah,
it's in high
Monday
contention.
Is the best day of the week.
People
sure.
do love Monday. So now we're kind of, now the week's slumping off. Oh, great. Thursday, Friday. Well, great. What's next? The weekend? Horrible. So hang in there, everybody, you know?
Big time. Hey, I've been hanging in there this morning because, you know, I'm well on the record of saying that I love savants. You know that about me, right?
Oh, yeah. Like the twins who know every single episode of, what is it?
The Dick Van Dyke Show. Or not Dick Clark.
The like, Dick Clark Show. And you
yeah.
can say like.
Oh, yes. That was 1984. Yes. That was Dick Clark. Yes. Dick Clark. Yeah.
Yes.
So there's anything that has to do with savants. I love it. If you don't know what a savant is, it's kind of like it's a form of autism. Like they're kind of connected where people's brains just work in different ways. And I have always found that fascinating. There's a guy that lives in England and his name is Derek and he is a musical savant. So whenever Derek was a baby, he learned how to play the piano at like 18 months old. He had a little Fisher-Price one, would bang it. And the next thing you know, he's playing Mozart and he's playing all kinds of stuff just on his little Fisher-Price piano. And now, like, he grows up, never taken a lesson or anything like that. They could say, here's a Beach Boys song, play it, but play it as Beethoven would have wrote it. And he could change it in his mind and just do it perfectly the first time. It's unbelievable watching these people do it.
That's always incredible to me. And it shows, like, I'm like, man, my brain, am I just missing some connections? Like,
I know, right?
What am I missing that I will never, like there's so many brains out there and whatever the reason have so many unique, awesome abilities that I look at and I'm like, well, like, could I train my brain to be that way
and
after years or no, I'll never have
and
that.
Not even in a way that savants do it, but just like my brain doesn't work in the way like attorneys' brains do, where if you read all these complicated words and things like that that are like very technical, I don't understand what that means. Like what my wife does in writing grants for research and like has all these technical terms that go back to back to back. I'd have to read that a million times to understand it. Chemistry, mathematics, there's so many things that I don't understand, but savants take it to a whole new level. And when I find a new savant that I don't know about, it just makes me so happy.
Oh, have you seen on Netflix the documentary about the man who has like 17 different degrees? Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like he's a medical doctor. He is a scientist. He's an archaeologist.
He's an author. He does like all that stuff. And I think that's one that I could almost understand. Like that's just continuing education forever. Like that's just somebody who really likes to go to school. Like he's a psychiatrist. He does all those things. I could see that if your career is being educated, going to school. The guy today is so different from anyone else that I've seen. It came from a story from 1981. We don't normally
keeping up with the current news. Yeah, I love it.
You don't normally play longer clips, but I think the voices behind here, I'm gonna send it to Avery so we can add it in. I want everyone just to take 5 minutes because I think it'll really brighten your day because it gives you an opportunity to really understand something beautiful about the human mind, a condition that we see someone that we would normally like almost take pity or feel sorry. And then there's this beautiful flower. It really reminded me when I listened to the story. Do you remember in the new version of Dennis the Menace, whenever he's like, I think it was like 1992 or something like that release, where Dennis the Menace, he goes over to Mr. Wilson's house, and Mr. Wilson has this big garden party because he's this big time gardener. That's what he does in his retirement. And he's growing this one plant.
And this the flower that only blooms
once every 30 years or something it's supposed to bloom. It reminded me of that because this guy that you're going to hear about soon, he didn't speak until he was 16 years old, didn't walk until he was 16 years old. And the next thing you know, because his mom, his adopted mom, would just hit a piano key a couple times a night, he had the desire to get out of bed and just sat at a piano and knew how to play it. Listen to the story. It's unbelievable.
May recalls the first time she heard of her foster son, Leslie.
We had bought this house, and some neighbor come up here and said, "Are you called Miss Lemke?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, there's a call here from a hospital about a baby or something like that." So I went down and listened, and they said, "You're the only one that we could think of calling." Said, "You worked with these kind of children and everything, and we have a baby here that's going to die." And when I saw that poor little thing with its eyes out and everything, I took it.
Until 2 years ago, Leslie was unable to even talk. All his life, he's had great difficulty controlling his muscles. He can barely manage to dress or feed himself. Leslie is severely disabled, but there's something very special about him.
I said, "This boy can't stand, and I'm going to drag him around," I said, "so he feels what I'm doing." And he was getting on for 10 and 11 years old, and he was still so tiny. And I stood him by the fence, and he moved. And I saw him go like this. I said, "Come. Come on, baby." I says, "Come on to me." Because to me, he was just a baby. That's all he looked like. I said, "Come on, do another step. Just a step. Come on, walk. Come to me." And he took another step like this, you know, all shaky like this. And he stood like that.
Yes.
Yes.
Another thing May did right was to buy Leslie a musical instrument.
It was a second-hand piano. And I put it in there. And each night I would go in and ping, ping like that, you know. Just me, I'd be doing that. I wasn't playing no music at all, just going up and down like that. And he was around 16 years old. He couldn't talk or walk or anything. And we went to bed, and we heard music. I couldn't believe it. And I said to Joe, I said, "Did you leave television on?" And he said, "No." And I got up, you know, thinking I was going to turn off some music. And that boy, I'd got out of that bed How he did it, I don't know. And he was playing that piano.
How and why Leslie could suddenly play a piano concerto that he had only heard is beyond explanation.
I said, oh, thank you, dear God, that you've remembered to do something for Leslie.
Everybody's beautiful.
The first time he sang was the most important thing I ever heard. He was singing and playing piano, but he couldn't talk with us.
What was I doing that time when all the kids sing?
Everybody's beautiful.
Do you know that he did not cry until he was 18 years old? He was sat in that chair, and I saw a tear running down his cheek for the very first time, and I said, what is wrong with you? And he went like this. He says, I'm crying. And it was noises like, oh, like a child that was in the worst misery that had ever been with anybody, and he cried and cried.
Something that we normally do on the show. Yeah. But I just found it to be so inspiring. Like, that one, if you are a family, a couple, and you just get a phone call, imagine how nice of a person and how kind of a person you have to be for the hospital to be looking at this baby that obviously has some developmental issues, that has some things that went wrong with the birth, that the baby wasn't born completely healthy and things like that. Like I'm struggling to try to say the most politically correct.
They call the
way.
Parents, they call and they say, you know what, we'll take it on. Because special needs, there's going to be special needs
special
here.
Needs
and we see
there.
You have that. Okay.
And so to be in a town like this and for them to be like, you know what, you know who would be perfect? These people. The saintliness that you have to be the go-to call on that phone call has got to be otherworldly, where people are like, oh yeah, this lady and this guy, they are the perfect family for this kid.
Oh, there's amazing people out there who specifically, they know they have the means to take care of special needs people. And they're like, yeah, sign me up. And that's incredible. So yeah, it's pretty cool stories. And everybody's like normal is different. And so many beautiful brains out there that just are thinking in so many different directions. Meanwhile, on Zero Block 30, I can't read numbers. So yeah. I can't
and then
read.
I fell down. I started at 6 o'clock this morning, Kate. Like I found this video, like just doing some research or whatever. And I came across it. And then I fell down this rabbit hole of different types of savants that I had never heard of. Like there's one guy that lives in England. He speaks 27 languages.
Oh,
27.
Yeah.
And that's not it. He speaks 27 languages fluently. Like they brought a professor from Oxford to his house. They sit down with all these different newspapers from across the globe. He reads them out loud, like can go through them, can read all the newspapers, pronounces everything, like from Hungarian to Hindu, like all across the globe. It's not like they're closely related, like Italian and Spanish. It's very different languages. He reads them all with the perfect accent. And then whenever he's done with it, they're like, the thing about this guy, because they just introduce him, they don't say anything about him. He just sits down at the table, starts reading all this stuff, and you're like, this guy is fucking brilliant. The next clip in the show is the guy can't go to town by himself. He can't put on his own pants. Like, he can't do any of that stuff, but he can speak 27 languages.
Well, that's like me. I can ride my bicycle 35 miles around
the
city.
I don't think it's like you at all.
But I can't read numbers. I can't. Yeah. I'm just saying the weird way. The weird way we all have different things we can and can't do. Like it's like just so bizarre. But even too, you're talking about. I was wondering, like, could I ever learn? Could if I stopped right now and said I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to learning 35 languages? Could I do it? I don't know.
Unequivocally, no.
But there are people. There's the national. We have talked about this before. The national memory championships.
Oh yeah.
And that is people who just from all sorts of backgrounds around the world, and they teach themselves this. And it's this, here's what the competition entails. Mental athletes is what they call them, because they train their whole lives for this stuff. And it's not, they're not it born with training. It.
I mean, if you do anything with a lot of brain power, I try to put a miter saw blade on and it kicked my ass mentally. I was drained.
Oh, it's crazy. So this, in the first one, there's like four parts to the National Memory Championships. The first one is names and faces. They have 15 minutes to memorize 135 color photos of different, like, headshots. Like, you would see somebody get a professional headshot, and then their full name is underneath it. Like, here's a woman, her name's Cindy Smith. There's 135 of those cards with different people, different names and faces. Once the memorization period is over, they have 20 minutes to go through every single photo, put them in order to the way they saw them, and then write the full names under the faces
of the person.
And they, most of them get it right. They nail
it. No way.
The next part, it gets even harder. The next part, mental athletes have 5 minutes to memorize one page of computer-generated numbers presented in 20 digits with 25 rows per page. So there's like, I don't know, 20. What's 25 times 25? That's a lot. You know me in numbers, not happening.
525, I think.
They have 10 minutes to memorize it and then write it all down in order again. Then there's speed cards. And tell me if this is boring to you, but I thought it was so interesting. So the object of speed cards is to commit to memory and recall a single pack of 52 playing cards in the shortest time possible. So they go through, they get, somebody shuffles it, hands it to them. They go through it, and then they have to do it as fast as they can to put them back in order. And then speed poetry. This is very interesting to me. This is the final one. They have 15 minutes to memorize a previously unpublished poem. So it's a poem that's never been seen in the world before. And once it's over, they have 20 minutes to recall and recite the poem exactly as it was written, including the title and author. And they must make it clear where one line ends and another begins. So like comma, next line. They have to have it perfect. They have to include, if there's italics, punctuation marks, capital letters, if there's anything, they have to make sure they annotate that as they go through. And people like nail it. People get this stuff like 100% right.
Would
you, it's insane.
Would you want to be friends with somebody that could do that?
Hell yes, I would.
I would not. I don't think I would. Like, if you're sitting at a bar and be like, oh, remember when you said, well, I didn't actually say that. This is what I said. Fuck you. Like, I don't want to know exactly what I said.
The real question is, would they want to be friends with me? The answer is unequivocally hard.
Would
these
brainiacs be hanging out with Chaps and Kate? Probably not.
It would be a charity case if they were hanging out with me. They'd be like, oh God. But I feel like the brains like that, like, I don't know, like, you know, like that what was Rayman, they go to the casino or whatever.
But think about, think about how troublesome that would be for you, Kate. Like, if you had that type of memory where you could remember everything, you know exactly how much money all the time you were fined for your parking tickets.
That's true. And that would be a horror. As I hear the street sweeper, I hear the street sweeper going down the street right now. And so I very well could be getting another ticket. I thought it was Friday, but maybe it's today. But yeah, no, you're right. They were, I don't know, but yeah, definitely a lot of, and again, I keep repeating it, but I'm like, why are their brains wired to know all this shit? And mine's just like, it's never going to happen.
Well, that brings me to where I actually started the rabbit hole this morning. There was a story that came out. It was in Popular Mathematics is the magazine, which I'm not a reader of Popular Mathematics.
Big Popular Mathematics guy, right?
Big math guy. Yeah. So there is a prisoner who was in jail for 25 years, convicted and 25 years in prison. And he wrote a letter to Princeton University. And he said, because he's in jail, and he wants to better himself. Like, part of it is like exercising your mind. Like, he wanted to just see what he could do and better. He had always liked numbers and math, and he wanted to get involved. So he wrote this letter to Princeton University and said, to whom it may concern, I'm interested in finding more information on a subscription to the Mathematic Journal for my personal use. I'm currently serving 15 years or 25 years in Washington Department of Corrections, and I've decided to use this time for self-betterment. I'm studying calculus and number theories as numbers have become my passion. Can you please send me any information on your Mathematic Journal? Thank you. And here's my information. And he said, by the way, I'm teaching this all myself. So if you could make it as thorough as possible, I would appreciate it. So this professor gets this pen pal essentially from this corrections guy, and they start going over irrational numbers. Now, Kate, for those listening at home, remind us what irrational numbers are.
They will not listen to anyone. They're going to do their thing. You tell them, hey, it's about to lightning out. Don't go golfing. That number's like, I'm going to grab my most metally club. Ooh. Yeah, they're irrational. They're on their periods. They're not thinking straight. These numbers are big.
Well, there's essentially two schools of thought about irrational numbers. You can have Kate's school of thought, and then you could also have like numbers like pi that continue on forever, that don't have an ending, that you can't like put it out there on a perfect piece of paper of how they actually end. It's an infinite
number. I don't believe in pi, by the way.
I don't either. I'm a firm non-believer in pi. Just round up. Like, what's the fucking...
Here's a question. What's stopping me from making my own pie?
Ingredients.
Guess what? The ingredients are numbers. There's a lot of them. What if I said 5.32875678?
In the words of longtime stoolie Carl Sagan, if you want to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe. How deep is that?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard that song on YouTube? Do you remember when it was really popular to like do auto-tune for normal shit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Remember the one that was like, wear sunscreen? Blah, blah, blah. Like when we were graduating.
One of my favorite songs, period, is Carl Sagan saying, if you want to build an apple pie from scratch, you must first
never heard that shit ever.
The universe. Well, now the entire listenership is going to hear it. Here's Carl Sagan saying, if you want to invent the universe from apple pie, here you go.
I'm on the edge of my folding chair.
Yeah. So this guy's in jail. He's serving 25 years prison in the Washington Department of Corrections following a murder conviction. He's not just doing a little light goofing. This is straight up murder.
Now, was it a murder or was it like a murder most foul?
Oh, I don't know. I think you're right there. There is levels of murder. Like, I don't want to get into it.
Well, there's degrees. Some would say there's degrees.
Yeah, some would say degrees there's of murder. First degree, there's second degree. Some would say it's a capital offense. So you have these different types of murderers. This guy is a murderer who just happens to like to do a little numbers goofing with irrational numbers. So he wrote Princeton University, wrote them and wanted to become pen pals with them, essentially. And he said that it, like, the people in the Department of Corrections said this happens all the time, where prisoners will reach out and be like, hey, can I have some literature? Because you're sitting in jail, like, all that time. You have nothing but time on your hands where you want to read and do whatever to take as much time away as possible. So he gets this professor to reach back to him, and the professor sends him a 120-centimeter long piece of paper in the mail, and on it was a very complicated formula. And whenever he sent it back, the prisoner worked on it, like looked through the research, did everything, sent back the answer to the equation of this 120 character long equation, and the guy got it right. Like, the guy in prison got it right, and he was like, okay. And it was a pretty complicated problem, so then they started to work together.
Well, this is now, like a Goodwill Hunting kind of
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, what I imagine, it's Professor Lambeau with this Fields Medal, like sitting there and getting all this information, and he's basically found Will Hunting. Well, they go on and they find all this different research, and listen to how complicated this guy in prison, what he's doing. He said, there's no such thing as a closest rational approximation to an irrational number. By increasing the denominators of our fraction, we get as close as we want. And then he goes on to say that this punishment for me in prison was designed to effectively take my head from my butthole, and I did it by calculating pi and things like that.
So now
he still has 16 years. It was published in like a worldwide mathematics journal. It was like the dude from Princeton is the head author, and then this guy, and they credit him for being in the Washington State of Corrections.
Whoa. And the therapy sessions there were a little different. When the therapist is like, it's not your fault, he was like, I killed a guy. Kill somebody.
It's not
so
your fault. No, it I
is,
did. I
it
did.
Is definitely my fault there.
What
my
is
bad.
That painting?
Wow, so he's still no there. Place. Maybe I'll write the prisoner and have him teach me how to count. And then I'll give him a new purpose.
That'd be weird.
Something like that. Okay.
I could see you being a pen pal with some prisoners.
I Googled the other day, finally, because I do. I will try to write a number down, and I'll think 9. And when I look at the paper, I've written a 6 or a 7 or something like that. Like, and then
I do that all the time when I'm saying, like letters, if I have to do an ad read where it's a bunch of letters that I have to read out, where they're like read out the URL that it's supposed to be, I'll constantly mess up letters.
Well, so I Googled it. I was like, can you have, because I could read fine. I was like, can you have dyslexia, but like with just numbers? And you can. It's not called dyslexia. It's something else. But like your brain can't. And my whole life, I've really, really struggled with math and all that stuff. I think I have a learning disability. I think I figured it out. So look at me. Anyways, what else is new? Jeff is going to leave me hanging. That's okay. Anyway. Thursday, huh? Yeah. Boy, oh boy, we are almost to the weekend.
My goodness.
Oh, can I tell you something fun, kind of off topic?
I'd love for that to happen.
So I have been trying to get a little bit healthier and learn how to cook and stuff. Because as you know, I've like never cooked chicken. I don't cook at all, like in any way. I make canned foods. That's my jam. Chef Boyardee, soups, whatever. I plop it in the pan. It's mine. So I've started during this quarantine to like cook a little bit. And I've also tried to start using substitutes for like unhealthy. So I love to bake or whatever. And now I'll use like a high quality maple syrup instead of straight up sugar. Or I'll use like, I'm trying to use coconut oil instead of regular blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So last night I get home from this bike ride. I went for like a long nighttime bike ride. I get back and I'm like really craving chocolate or something. And instead of, I'm like, oh, I have cocoa powder. I have a bunch of stuff. I got this high-end cocoa powder. It's like pitch black. It's super dark.
Whoa. That's how you know it's good.
So I go to make these. I look up these like oatmeal peanut butter cocoa bars that they're no bake. You just like stir the ingredients together and then you press them into little bars in a pan. I didn't have a little pan. So I just mushed this ball onto a plate and it looked like straight up bear shit. It looked like.
Oh, that's what that was?
That's what that was.
I thought you were eating like some kind of seaweed quinoa.
I posted at like 2:30 in the morning on barstoolsports.com. I posted a blog that was simply that like dog shit on my plate. And it was like, guess what my midnight snack is? LOL. It got 106 guesses on the site. Anybody who was awake last night was guessing what it was. And people were saying seaweed, berries, asphalt, dog shit, all
it
sorts
did look
of
like
different
asphalt.
Stuff. But somebody finally.
Was it good?
Oh my God, it's amazing. I was eating it this morning. It turns my mouth black, but it's delicious.
It's like the charcoal teeth cleanser.
Yes, people were guessing it was your diarrhea. People were guessing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that one was a little foul. I saw that one on your Instagram.
But people are so grossed out by it, but I'm absolutely delighted by the amount. I woke up this morning, like Christmas morning, like how many people guessed? And when I saw 106 people and like nobody got it exactly right, what a treat.
Well, how could they?
I don't know. But Big Mac Ball, he comments on a lot of my stuff. This guy at Big Mac Ball, and I think he does the same thing on Barstool. He kind of guessed it right, that it was sort of like a no-bake cookie. But literally everybody else like wasn't even close to what it was, and everybody thinks I'm disgusting. So I just wanted to share that. I was very excited by that.
No, I think that's great, Kate. I'm glad that you had a disgusting midnight snack that nobody knew what it was. But I'm glad that it was edible, which
is
nice.
Looks the grossest thing, but yeah, I'm eating the shit out of it. You freeze it. It's like a thing. But anyways.
Yeah, no-bake cheesecake's not bad. I used to love no-bake cheesecake.
I sauteed tomatoes the other day. I don't know if you're supposed to do that, but.
Yeah, you can saute. You could saute basically whatever you want.
I did it. I make it garlic now. I toss it in the skillet with a little olive oil. I feel like Emeril Lagasse. Well, no, you know, you crush it up with your hand. You slam it with your fist.
Yeah, but what are you doing with it?
I put it in olive oil and then I put it on the stove and it sizzles up and it smells really good. And then I toss a couple small tomatoes on it. And then I just, I don't know. And then I put it on spaghetti.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's good.
Look at me.
I feel like
really unlocking a whole new, you're becoming like Chap's home improvement guy. And I'm becoming, out of this world.
Jeff.
Yeah. Who's that guy? He's a big deal. He's got the hair. He's like out of this world.
Guy
Fieri. That's who I'm becoming.
Yeah. All right. Fieri? Chipotle?
Yeah. Fieri. Anyway, I just thought you should all know that. I was pretty pumped about it. So
there is another story that I came across. Can we go back to adoption for a second?
Sure. Hey, this show, why not?
So there is a story that came out. It was through BuzzFeed. There was a lady and her husband who are YouTube influencers. So they have like, have you heard this story?
I saw this story and I was like, these mother
motherfuckers, dude. Like, because I was trying to think of a way that I could blog this where it's like a Barstool kind of way, but I would just be legit triggered. So I'm going to talk about it on the show. I read it and not, I wasn't just mad at the people behind it. The way the phrasing of some of the things that the BuzzFeed journalist said, I was like, how in the fuck can you phrase that about a human being? Like, so to give some background to the story, this couple has like 600,000 followers on YouTube. They were known for trying to adopt a baby from China. They were going to go over there. They documented their entire story of what was going to happen. They raised money through social media platforms like YouTube. There was monetization that was turned on their channel. They gained hundreds of thousands of followers because people are interested in that type of thing. And that happens a lot. Like adoption, international adoption is something that is intriguing to a lot of people. Like, and I know folks from my old like seminary days that would constantly try to do that, that they would raise money because it is expensive to go to China or go really to expensive. Africa or go to Eastern Europe and things like that to go pick up a baby and bring them over to America. It's a very expensive thing to do. Well, they had this following and they went through, it was 2 years of videos, Kate, 2 years of videos of going through step by step by step what they had to do. They raised money to fly. They raised money for the hotels. They raised money to bring them back. They bring money for like all these different things that they need money for. And they found out into the journey that the kid that they were planning on adopting had autism, like that he was an autistic kid.
Well, and developmental, yeah, he had had a brain tumor and a stroke in utero. And mm-hmm. so that he was developmentally, yeah, he had a little problem.
Right. There. And they said that it developed into autism and things like that. And whenever he came to America, he eventually came to America, lots of fanfare. They're posting him all over their blog. They're talking about kids with special needs. They're talking about what it's like being a parent to a kid with special needs. And that type of thing, if you're in the community, I'm not. But if you're in the community, I know several parents who are, that social media group is really tight-knit because they are experiencing the same thing. And having somebody that you can empathize with or commiserate with some of the struggles and challenges is very important as a parent, that you have that type of group that you can kind of lean on, that you're not the only one going through this. You're not the only one struggling with this. You're still a good dad. You're still a good mom. You mm-hmm. saw all these things. Well, the social media people that are there, they paid close attention. They noticed that the little boy was no longer in the family photos after mm-hmm. a while. Like,
yeah, you'll notice that. You'll notice something like that.
So they had another kid. That kid's in the picture. They talked about some of the struggles that the kid that came over from China was having. The BuzzFeed article, did you pick up on this, the way that they phrased it?
Go ahead.
They said the parents rehomed the kid.
That's what they call it. And the part that people are losing their minds about, and I think they should, is that first, for like years, they grew this huge following. They have almost 1 million followers on their YouTube channel. You know, again,
and because, you make a lot of money from that.
Because other people who genuinely want to adopt from overseas, they're looking for any sort of, what is it like? And so they're following these people to see like, oh, this is a kind of an example of what I might be going through. They gain this huge following through that whole process. They get the child. And then here's the part that people really honed in on. Once they adopted the child, Stauffer maintained several sponsors throughout the adoption. Like, so she was making money off of using this baby. And so like, you know, products and stuff like that. She would have him in the thing and like, we're holding this baby formula or this toy or whatever. And so she was making money.
Which I think is kind of normal. Like if you have that following to accept those things and become like a mommy blogger, become like a dad blogger. I mean, shit, I did Podfathers forever. Like talking about your family as far as, and it, I mean, I got paid to do Podfathers. So like you do get paid for that type of thing. So I didn't have necessarily a problem with them having the kid in content. Like, and doing that kind of stuff, but you do have to be careful. And I think that some elements of that, the biggest issue that I had with it is whenever you're looking at it from a whole perspective, like once you're out there that way, like moving on and not keeping the kid, like bringing the kid over from China and not just saying, this is our life. This is what we are going to do. We are going to have to do this no matter what, to me is
right. And if shocking. We have to stop making content to keep this going, then we need to stop making content. Right? Like this one, to me, the ads are a big deal. To me, the sponsorships, there's one that's shortly before they rehomed him, where she's on a bed.
I hate that phrasing.
She's on a bed looking comfy, cozy. She's holding him in her arms, giving him a little kiss. And it's for, and behind them's a laundry basket with this Dreft detergent in it. And she writes, "This adoption hasn't been the easiest ride. We've had so many bumps along the way, but it's by far one of my favorite journeys I've ever embarked on. I love everything about this little boy and wouldn't trade him for anything. # the smell of babyhood at Dreft detergent." And it's like, this is right before she gives him away, like she gives him up, and it's like it's going for the sympathy card, like, look at us and what we did, we are these saints who adopted this child with special needs and blah blah blah, and you're using him to make money off of, I don't know.
And I try to be empathetic, because I mean, I imagine there, if there is some big time developmental delays, that kind of thing has to be so unbelievably difficult, something that you can't,
you need a big support system,
right? Yeah. And it's something that you can't wrap your head around if you don't know it, like if you don't live in it. So it feels almost like hypocritical for me to bring it up, because I'm not in that situation, so I don't know what it's like. But I like to imagine that that would not be me, man. Like, I would do whatever it took for me to get through it, or for my family to get through it. But the rehoming of the kid, like, we struggle with language and trying to be politically correct. That can't be right. Like, rehoming. Yeah, no.
And they also, like, there's other things that have come out, like a picture of him with his thumbs duct taped so they would get him to stop sucking his thumbs. Like, you don't do that. That's
no,
not a thing,
like,
you
that's
do
an
to
archaic
get
way of doing stuff. Yeah, like, so putting, like, fucking hot sauce on it and shit like that. You don't do that.
Also, I noticed the little boy's wearing a Phillies shirt. I hope this isn't a Philly area family, the Stauffers.
Oh, no doubt they're from Delco.
Oh,
no,
God damn it. Don't be from Philly. Don't be Phillies fans. Yeah, these people absolutely suck. And yeah, that was, it's picking up a lot of steam because people are so upset by it. And again, you're right. Like, sometimes, especially in a situation, you do need a ton of support. You do need a lot of resources. And it can be really difficult. But to do it so publicly and to gain so much from it and then just be like, never mind. That's fucked up. That's insane.
And the lady's like beautiful. She is exact, like, she looks like a model essentially. And the headline is SEO buzzwords. Like, if you're writing a headline and you're designing it to get clicks, this is exactly what you write. The headline for BuzzFeed: a YouTuber plays her autistic adopted son from China with a new family after making content with him for years. Like, that is a click-worthy headline if I've ever seen it.
Oh, I'm clicking it and I'm getting real pissed off.
I did immediately. I was like, I got to see what this is about.
The couple then has come out, now that people have figured it out, they've come out with this YouTube video. Why do YouTubers with huge followings, whenever they have to address, like have to do a little PR on a big snafu, on a big mistake, it's always in their bedrooms, either sitting on the floor next to their bed or on the...
Shout out
sitting,
Sophia Franklin.
And of course, shout out Sophia. As soon as she did it, I was like, another one on in the
and
bedroom.
How do they not have anything on their walls ever?
And also, they're both wearing white, and they're on all white sheets. They're trying to look pure and angelic. Mm-hmm. They're both wearing all perfect white.
Like,
they're
one
on
of
the white
Mormon
bed.
Porns.
Yeah, it's like a Mormon porn. Mm-hmm. Hey, buddy, I've gone through every genre on this old quar. Anyways,
better in these streets.
Oh, yikes!
And these
anyways,
streets.
Boy, they look like episode 302 from. Anyways, yeah. So they. They're in the bed, and she has glasses on, and she's not wearing, she looks so pure, and she looks like she's been crying, and I don't know, I just fuck these people.
And then she goes into him like his new mommy, like, come on, dude, like, what are you doing, you crazy ass? Like, just stop it. Just be like, hey, we fucked up, we thought we had this parenting thing, it's a lot more difficult, we are not going to be on social media anymore, see you later. Like, you yeah. gotta have a new life off of it. That I just don't know how you do that. Let's try to change subjects.
Yeah, new subject. Okay. Oh, no more, we need adoption, something good vibes.
Or adoption talk. But adoption's wonderful. I honestly think if I was given the opportunity to, like, if something happened, I would do it.
I mean, I feel like that's the road I'm heading down. Okay, so I don't know. I've thought about it for a long time. So maybe once I get out of a studio apartment, that could be a thing in my life. But who knows? But I did one yesterday.
Befriend a troubled teen.
Yeah, befriend a troubled teen. I just keep looking outside. I'm like, is anybody? I made
troubled teens out here.
I got some homemade oatmeal bars up here that look like dog shit.
Misconnection. I was on the subway eating SpaghettiOs and you were a troubled teen.
Yeah, please hit me up, each of you. I did a vlog yesterday. You know those Rube Goldberg machines?
I know what that is, but I don't.
It's like, you see those viral videos where somebody creates almost like a mini roller coaster in their house for a marble to go down?
Oh, yeah.
And it goes down the steps.
Phrase, yeah.
And then like the marble hits a pot and the pot taps a bowling ball and the bowling ball goes down. So
the guy, the one guy does it where he like gets a steak in his mouth at the end.
Yeah. And so this one I found yesterday on YouTube, and apparently I double blogged somebody, Barstool on it, classic. But each part, so every time a ball hits something and makes a transfer, that's a part of the machine. So normally they're like 30-40 part Rube Goldberg machine is a transfer, bing, 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 bing. That's a big deal. This kid made a 70-part Rube Goldberg machine that starts in his front yard, goes over the roof of his house, and then goes all the way down.
Oh, is this the one that's outside with like basketballs and shit?
With a basketball and a swish. And I reached out to the kid to interview him for the blog. I'm like, what's your deal? It turns out he's only a junior in high school. And he said he spent two months taking stuff from his parents' shed and garage and yard. There's like parts from the lawnmower. There's like every old thing that's all my old like basketballs and stuff. I felt like this kid took my childhood, like just like all the stuff I used to play with and put it together. I felt like I was going through a time thing watching it go. But he just is junior in high school. 2 months he spent setting it up.
He must live in a neighborhood that doesn't have an HOA, because my neighborhood would never permit that.
Would never allow. So for 2 months, their yard was totally fucked up. He even built.
That's what went through my mind. Like, my older kids are almost the same age. I would never let her do that.
He even dug. The backyard is a hill. He dug like a luge that zigzagged down the backyard in the mud so that the basketball could roll down it and then hit. And it worked out in the end. So I asked him, I'm like, how long? It took him 2 months. He said some of the little parts were so fragile, would tip so easily, that sometimes he'd be ready to go and a gust of wind would knock half of it over. And he'd have to be like, fuck. Well, I don't think he cussed. He's a junior in high school. I don't cuss. But so he'd have to do it all over again. But then when he finally did it, he had to get the whole thing in one shot too. So he had to run through the yard with a selfie stick, watching it, making sure he was capturing it perfectly while he did it. I was just so impressed with this kid.
Did you ask him if his parents were impressed?
No, I should have. I should have asked him if they are. But he said this
Damn
has
it,
just
Kate.
Been, he's been doing this. He's been making these since 2014. And you're talking about like savants and people who have special things.
So he's been, he was in like fucking fourth grade.
He's been building these since then. And so he's getting better and better and better and better at it. And so I was like, well, do you have like a goal with this someday? And he's like, just to keep making bigger ones. Like he fucking just loves it, dude. He's just like a big fan of it.
But what could you really, I guess that's part of engineering, right?
Yes. I was thinking, he's a junior in high school. If I was a college advisor, or not a college advisor, but a college admissions specialist, and like you sent me that as part of your like essay,
like engineering, to get into an engineering school, absolutely.
Because some of the stuff that this kid did to get things to take off and stuff,
A basic
creative
understanding of science that has to take place there. Like you understand like kinetics and shit like that.
Look yeah, so me. You think
kinetics?
I
Whoa,
know what? Good God. Well, so people sometimes will reach out and be like, Kate, I want to work at Barstool, or I want a job that's creative, blah blah blah. And I'm like, just keep doing your weird shit, your weird hobby. Keep doing it, and I promise somebody will be impressed by it, and it'll lead to something. Like
those type of where you actually get a video. Usually, I watch those. It's the ones that are be like, "Hey, I want to work at Barstool. Do anything. Hit me up.
Yeah,
you're hired."
I've gotten a couple that after I don't answer, finally they're like, "Bitch, oh, pardon me, excuse me. I thought you cared about the stoolies." I'm like, "Dude, I get so many. I don't know." But yeah, and I've had a couple that were so aggressive, I had to ask them like. I had to like have like a come to Jesus moment with them. I'm like, I'm telling this for your own good. I know that you know that like, because I think sometimes they see that Dave likes people who like are aggressive with stuff and like show they want stuff, but there's a line. And I'm like, I know that's what you're going for, but you're really freaking me out. Like you need to not do that. Like, and if you're messaging other Barstool people too, you're probably ruining your chances because you're probably creeping them out too. Like, I don't know. It's interesting, the tactics. But then I look back at when I was trying to do stand up. Like years ago when I was doing a ton of stand-up up here, there was this traveling military veteran stand-up show. And I messaged the guy like 5 different times being like, please check out my stuff. Please let me be a part of your thing. Please, blah, blah, blah. And finally he was like, lady, leave me the fuck alone. So I get it. So anyways.
You got to shoot your shot eventually. I mean, I used to hit up Big Cat because he'd be like, that was a really funny thing that you did, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, yeah. if you, I'm available. Yeah. I am available.
Well, funny that you mentioned that. Yes.
I am currently very unemployed. So,
yeah.
But I've always wanted to build those things. I used to do, whenever I lived in base housing in Patuxent River, Maryland, we would have, mm-hmm. I got this huge set. Did I ever tell you I was a huge dumpster diver as a kid?
No.
Oh, yeah. Big
You're
dumpster
like, it's
diver.
Always sunny. You're like, Frank.
I did, because I lived in base housing. So people were constantly moving in and out. Like they were, you always have people moving out and they're throwing their shit away.
That's
so
a good point.
If I saw the big Mayflower trucks that were moving things, I would go to the dumpster nearest and be like, what are these kids throwing out? I might want it. Well,
You were the time, young Frank and Charlie Kelly.
I know. One time, one family threw out the biggest domino set you'd ever seen.
Idiots.
It was huge. Mm. It was like a huge, big old bucket. Just full of Domino Rally stuff. Do you remember Domino Rally?
Do I remember Domino Rally? Yes. Uh-huh. And so what a great way to keep kids occupied, by the way.
Yes. I tried to go forever. At the beginning of quarantine season, I remembered this memory, and I was like, I'm going to go buy Domino Rally shit. My kids are going to fucking love it. They're going to be up and down the stairs and around and outside, like down the steps, doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
They're really expensive. But I found this big old case of it. And I made this huge track in my house in Patuxent River, Maryland, because it had wood stairs, which were perfect for it.
Oh, yeah.
Like it had wood floors in there, so you could go all the way down and around. I would go outside and have all these different things. And I thought it was awesome. I wish I had a video of it now, because in my mind,
it was the most amazing. It was like this kid's 70 part.
It probably sucks. It's probably like 50 pieces.
Yeah. It was a lot, you know, too, as a kid, I remember playing with like making these like little, I guess it wasn't quite a Rube Goldberg machine, but like setting up the domino paths to knock over and stuff as a kid. And the same kid that would always crush your sandcastle in the summertime was the same one that would tap one of your dominoes too early in the wintertime. You're building one of those in the basement. Shout out cousin Matt. Thanks a lot. But anyways, yeah. So,
Only time I ever worried about Kelsey that she might be a bad person is we were at this kids museum in Baltimore, Maryland. And, there was this family that had built upstairs. They had like, you know, the wooden blocks that everybody plays with in kindergarten. They had built this enormous castle. I mean, it looked like fucking Hogwarts, like Cons would have wanted to go to college there.
Oh yeah.
So they had it. Kelsey is like 3 and a half. The family's like looking back, they're taking cell phone shots of it. And Kelsey walks up with her like bushy red hair at the time and it like looks them straight in the face and just goes boom and like pushes it over. And like the other little kid like lost it.
She's as
like,
a parent, I think about how uncomfortable I get in awkward situations. And you've seen me, I like completely shut down. I like, yeah. I lose my mind when stuff like that happens. Like, how do you deal with it as a parent with the other parents when your kid does something asshole-ish? Like when
you're just kind of like, you turn into that old TV show. You're like, kids do the darndest things.
Like if I had a kid who like really pushed another kid on the playground or something, I'd be like,
I would
pick them up like a football and start running home.
Well, eventually I think you get to, whenever I was a younger parent, it used to really bother me. Like if one of the kids was, quote, acting up or being bad in like a grocery store.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, oh, I'm the only bad parent in the world. And then as you get older and you've been in the parenting game for a longer period of time, you're like, everybody's kid's a piece of shit. Like they're all bad. They all yell
every
at their
kid
parents.
Is an asshole.
Yeah, they all yell at their parents at some point. You just can't get rehome them. Like that's the only thing you can't do.
I have found once I got like nieces and nephews and you're in the restaurant and they're screaming, crying and blah, blah, blah. You just feel bad for them. You just like want them to feel better and you feel bad for your like your sister-in-law or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it has now when I hear kids freaking out in restaurants, I am like much more sympathetic to it. I'm like, okay, I get it now.
Like, well, it's like people who are dicks with kids on a plane. Like people, you think I want my fucking kid screaming
like,
on the
plane?
That's
going to be you someday, asshole. You're going to have a screaming kid on the plane.
That shit's so stressful, man. Like you're doing everything you can. You have the iPads charged, the fire tablets charged, all kinds of different shit. Sometimes they just don't shut up. That being said, it's about time for us to shut up, move on to a different little section. We'll be back tomorrow for a Friday edition. Let us know what you want to hear. Maybe we'll do a Music Central show for Fridays. Ooh, have a little Friday grooving into your weekend, because everybody enjoys that. Everybody appreciates that, right, Kate?